deposit for the entire term. Interest will be compounded daily and paid monthly. Fees or withdrawals of principal or interest could reduce earnings. Early withdrawals are subject to interest penalties. Minimum opening balance $1,000. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It is 7:18 now at KSRO. Good morning. I am Michelle Marquis. Former President Donald Trump was found guilty on 34 counts in a Manhattan courtroom yesterday. We look at the conviction, possible sentencing, and the likely lengthy appeals process with our next guest, Kimberly Whaley, professor of law at the University of Baltimore School of Law. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Great to be here.
So tell us exactly what was Trump found guilty of by the jury yesterday?
34 counts of falsifying business records to the first degree under New York law, which was a felony because the jury found that he falsified the records in order to conceal another crime, in this instance, basically withholding information from the voting public in the 2016 election relating to his affair with Stormy Daniels.
So Donald Trump's a circus, former president in a criminal trial, bound to be a circus. New York itself is kind of a circus. Yet it seems for the most part this case had its moments, but it feels like it was court drama free. What's your 5,000-foot view of how the process went?
Yeah, no, I feel like Judge Merchan did it by the book. He was impeccable, very thoughtful. And, you know, it went the way the due process clause is supposed to work in American system of justice. Donald Trump got every advantage, I think, possible. There will be appeals, but there's nothing screaming for reversal based on this record, as far as I can tell.
Could the appeals process delay sentencing?
Well, sentencing is scheduled for July 11th, and usually you appeal, you know, from prison if that's the case. So not necessarily. There will be post-trial motions under New York where he can kind of do the, you know, like the Hail Mary pass. They'll probably lose. So in this moment, I think we'll see whether he'll get some kind of prison time in July. I don't think it's impossible that the judge will do something other than probation, frankly.
All right, let's dig into that. So can Judge Merchan in this case just make a sense in a vacuum, like as in, hey, this is a person will take it case by case, or does he have to go like this could be the next president of the United States? I got a sentence on based on that.
Well, there'll be a pre-sentencing report. People within sort of the court system will do a report making recommendations. But he does have this discretion here. Each count carries 4 years. They'll probably run concurrently, not one after the other, but basically up to 4 years. But, you know, there's 34 of them. It's not one or two of them. And in addition, you know, he was held in contempt multiple times. He has not shown any remorse or even, you know, he basically objected to every factual allegation. I think it might have hurt his defense, even claiming that Stormy Daniels was lying. So all these things I think the judge can take into account. And to answer your question, Judge Merchan so far has taken the position that he's just like any other American in the criminal justice system. He doesn't get goodies because of his privileged status as a prior former president. Now, if he is elected in November, remanding into custody, I think could be tricky. But the Justice Department and the federal government has no control over how New York does that. That's going to be up to New York.
Now, tell us about the appeals process and whether you think that this will lead to the Supreme Court.
Well, no. And the reason is we're waiting now for a decision from the Supreme Court in another one of these criminal trials. That is a January 6th federal case where, kind of amazingly, Donald Trump has seemed to have persuaded at least some of the justices to create criminal immunity for presidents in that case. Doesn't exist in this moment. It's nowhere in the Constitution. The conservative justices are poised, I think, to say certain crimes cannot be prosecuted if committed by a president, but they're probably going to divide the line between private and public conduct. And here, you know, even though he signed some of these checks from the White House, I don't think there's even, you know, sort of an argument he'll make it that this was somehow presidential when he was paying these, making these checks to reimburse Michael Cohen. So it will go first to the New York courts. It will go to an intermediate appellate court, then the highest court in New York, and then he'd have to get the U.S. Supreme Court to agree to take something from the New York court system. This whole criminal process here is a state court process. It doesn't really have a federal hook. So he'd have to persuade the federal U.S. Supreme Court that there's something presidential looming in here. Now, he has a very sympathetic conservative majority on the court. He appointed three of the justices that are kind of handing him a lot of wins, including in the 14th Amendment Section 3 case. So it's possible. But honestly, you know, I don't see it. I don't think he's going to get an out through the Supreme Court on this particular trial.
You know, Professor, everything seems so political these days. It's Donald Trump. It's a jury of 12. Didn't it seem like we're going to get hung up by one of these people? But it convicted on all accounts and so quickly. Didn't it seem strange that it happened so quickly in the way it did?
You know, I don't really think so. I mean, I might be sort of one of the few people, legal analysts, that have taken this position. The problem, I think, with the defense was there was no alternative narrative. They didn't give the jury a doubt for which there could be a reason. All the evidence pointed to Donald Trump being behind this scheme. So, you know, it is significant that it was all 12 jurors. It was unanimous. And it was all 34 counts, and the fact that it happened in 10 hours or whatever it was, I think just shows to the strength of the government's case here, where, you know, was the jury really, was there ever really a question that there was an affair with Stormy Daniels? Was there ever really a question that Donald Trump is very careful about his finances? You know, Hope Hicks said it wasn't realistic that Michael Cohen paid this hush money payment on his own. There was a document with Alan Weisselberg's handwriting showing that it was grossed up to $420,000 to cover income taxes. So was there really a question that these were actual legal fees? I mean, I think the jury, you know, did its civic duty, which is to look at the evidence and not at the political circus around it. And frankly, did their civic duty. And in this moment, they might be, you know, patriots, given the kind of harassment that has come from those that have been involved from the Donald Trump's team, involved in the criminal justice system. The politicizing of the judicial system is not from the jury here or from Judge Merchan. It's from the former president.
We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
That is Kimberly Whaley, professor of law at the University of Baltimore School of Law. KSRO News Time.